April 29, 1928. How the virtues are seeds, plants, flowers, and fruits, while the divine will is life. The wonders of the I love you. How love is never tired. One who lives in the divine will cannot go to purgatory, the universe would rebel. My poor mind is always prey to the supreme fiat. It seems to me I can think of nothing else, nor do I want to occupy myself with anything else. I feel a current in me which stops me now at one point, now at another point of the divine will. But I always end up in it without ever taking all of its endless light, because I am incapable of it. And my lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, making me a surprise, told me, "My daughter, when the soul practices a virtue, the first act she practices forms the seed, and as she practices the second, the third act and so forth, she cultivates the seed, she waters it, and it grows into a plant and produces its fruits. If then she practices it only once, or a few times, the seed is neither watered nor cultivated, it dies, and the soul remains without plant and without fruit, because a virtue is never formed by one single act, but by repeated acts. It happens as to the earth, it is not enough to sow the seed in its womb, but it is wise to cultivate it often and to water it, if one wants the plant and the fruits of that seed. Otherwise the earth becomes hard over that seed and buries it without giving it life. Now, one who wants the virtue of patience, of obedience and alike, must sow the first seed, and then water it and cultivate it with other acts. In this way, she will form many beautiful and varied plants. On the other hand, my will is not seed like the virtues, but life. And as the soul begins to be resigned, to look at my will in everything and to live in it, the little divine life is formed in her. And as she advances in the practice of living in my will, this divine life keeps growing and expanding, to the point of filling the soul with all of this life, in such a way that nothing is left of her but a veil that covers it and hides it within itself. And just as with virtues, so with my will, if the creature does not give the continuous nourishment of her acts to the little divine life within her, this life does not grow, and does not fill her entirely. It happens as to a newborn baby who dies at birth if he is not nourished. In fact, since my will is life, more than the virtues which are images of the plants, it needs continuous nourishment in order to grow and to become a whole life as much as a creature is capable of. This is why it is necessary that you always live in it, that you may take its delicious food from my will itself, so as to nourish its divine life in you. See then, how great is the difference which exists between the virtues and my will. The first are plants, flowers and fruits which embellish the earth and delight the creatures, while my fiat is heaven, sun, air, heat, heartbeat, all things which form life, and divine life, in the creature. Therefore, love this life, and give it continuous nourishment, that it may fill you completely and nothing may be left of you. After this, I was continuing my round in the divine will, and repeating the refrain of the I love you. I was saying, "Jesus, my love, I want to leave all of my being in your fiat, so that I may find myself in all created things, to bead them with my I love you. Even more, I want to place my heart in the center of the earth, and as it beats, I want to embrace all of its inhabitants. And following all of their heartbeats with my I love you, I want to give you the love of each one of them. And as my heartbeat is repeated from within the center of the earth, I want to place my I love you in all the seeds which the earth encloses in its womb. And as the seeds sprout and plants, herbs and flowers are formed, I want to place in them my I love you, that I may see them enclosed in my I love you for Jesus." But as I was saying this, my thought interrupted the refrain of my I love you, telling me, "How much nonsense you are speaking. Jesus himself must be tired of hearing your long sing-song, 'I love you, I love you.'" And Jesus, moving so very hurriedly in my interior, and looking at all creation to see whether in all things, small and big, there was the life of my I love you, told me, "My daughter, what wonder, what enchantment, to see all things beaded with your love, yo. If all creatures could see all the plants, the atoms of the earth, the stones, the drops of water, beaded with your love, yo, and the light of the sun, the air that they breathe, the sky that they see, filled with your love, yo, and the stars, shining with your love, yo, what amazement would not arise within them? What sweet enchantment would not draw the pupils of their eyes to look at your refrain and the long sing-song of your I love you? They would say, how is it possible that she let nothing escape her? We ourselves feel beaded with her I love you. And they would wander around checking and investigating everything to see whether, in fact, nothing had escaped you, so as to enjoy the enchantment of your I love you. Now, if this marvelous enchantment remains unobserved by the terrestrial creatures, it is not unobserved in heaven, and the inhabitants up there enjoy the enchantment and the marvels of seeing a whole creation filled and beaded with your I love you. They feel their I love you harmonize with yours. They do not feel separated from the earth because love unites them together, forming the same notes and the same harmonies. Moreover, you must know that when all things, small and big, were created, I never tired of beating them with my repeated and incessant I love you's single quote for you. And just as I did not tire of placing them, so I do not tire of hearing them being repeated by you. On the contrary, I enjoy that my I love you does not remain isolated, but has the company of yours. And as yours echoes and mine, they fuse together and live a common life. Besides, love is never tired. Rather, it is bearer of joy and happiness for me. Then, I don't know how, a thought came to me, if I died and went to purgatory, what will I do? If while being here imprisoned in my body, caged more than in a narrow prison, my poor soul feels it so much when Jesus deprives me of his adorable presence that I don't know what I would do and suffer to find him again. What would happen if, when the prison of my body is broken and my soul, free and loose, takes its rapid flight, I did not find my Jesus, the center in which I must take refuge, never to go out again? And instead of finding my life, the center of my rest, I found myself flung into purgatory? What would be my pain and my torment? Now, while I felt oppressed by these thoughts, my beloved Jesus clasped me all to himself, and added, my daughter, why do you want to oppress yourself? Don't you know that one who lives in my will has the bond of union with the heavens, with the sun, with the sea, with the wind, and with all creation? Her acts are fused in all created things, because my will has placed everything in common with her as her own things, in such a way that all of creation feels the life of this creature. And if she could go to purgatory, they would all feel offended, the entire universe would rebel, and they would not let her go alone to purgatory. The heavens, the sun, the wind, the sea, all would follow her, moving from their places and, offended, they would say to their Creator, she is yours and ours, the life that animates all of us animates her. How is this, in purgatory? The heavens would claim her with their love. The sun would speak up with its light, the wind with its lamenting voices, the sea with its tumultuous waves, all would have a word to defend the one who has lived a common life with them. But since one who lives in my will absolutely cannot go to purgatory, the universe will remain in its place, and my will have the triumph of bringing to heaven the one who has lived in it on this earth of exile. Therefore, continue to live in my will, and do not want to darken your mind and oppress yourself with things that do not belong to you.